So welcome to the second week of a new series that we started last week called Love, Sex, and Dating. This week, Gentlemen's Club. And we greeted you properly today with an all-Gentlemen's Club band today. Weren't they great? Wasn't that great worship today? Awesome. Some people have wondered and maybe even thought, why are we talking primarily to single people for the next 4 weeks? And I kind of prefaced that last week, but the idea behind that is simple, is my goal in this series is to better help people avoid the pain that they'll most likely experience later because of the decisions that they're making now. And that's what I'm attempting to do in this particular series. Now, in addition to that, I do realize that I'm most likely speaking to a lot of people that are sitting in the room that are divorced. You've also been remarried. But if you're in that divorced arena right now, you're finding yourself in this new territory once again called dating. And my goal for you in this series is to kind of ensure you, give you the tools, the proper techniques, the ideas, biblically speaking, that will basically ensure that your next marriage might be better than your last marriage. You do it the right way this time as opposed to the last way, by filling you in a little bit more of what God thinks it takes to make a marriage great and to make a marriage last. And then lastly, all the married people that are in here, there is some invaluable information for you as well in this series, because chances are many of you have children. Can I get a what on children if you got kids out there? Yeah. And they're varying different ages. There's no doubt about that. So what I'm hoping to do in this series is give you some information, biblically speaking, that will prepare you to have the conversation, the ongoing conversation with your kids, or when that time comes to have that conversation with them, you say it the right way, and you say it God's way as you continue to prepare future adults. So that's kind of what we're after in this particular series. Now, if you were here last week, you probably remember the primary objective behind this series. It's to basically tell you the things about dating or relationships or sex that maybe you never knew. You never knew. I kind of gave the brief example last week of when I would go to Fry's or Walmart and someone would come and dump their whole story on me and intimate details. And this week, by the way, this week, this was great. I went to Fry's a couple times and people, I saw people and they were like, oh gosh. And I was like, trying to avoid me. I'm like, stop it. Stop it. Stop it. So don't feel like you have to avoid me at Fry's or Walmart. Just avoid me if you're about ready to tell me your deepest, darkest secrets. Because that bothers me when I'm buying milk. Listen. So we want to tell you the things that maybe you never knew about love, sex, and dating. That you never knew. And maybe after the fact and you're living in the consequences of bad decisions. It's to tell you something that maybe you wish somebody told you to give you a better heads up on that, and that's why we're telling you this in this series, and because today I'm finding more and more there's so many single people that just don't know today this particular idea, and that is this: your past has a really tricky way of sneaking up on your future, really tricky way of sneaking up on your future. And here's kind of what that means. This was our deep thought last week, and I said it like this, but listen, if you want to write notes, this is a recap from last week. The present will be your past, which will be present in your future. The present will be your past, which will be present in your future. So that furthermore means this: what you're doing now, it's going to follow you around for the rest of your lives. So whether or not you're single today, you're divorced, you're remarried, you're married, parenting teenagers, and you're trying to clearly implicate communicate the massive implications of love, sex, and dating, this is a big idea. What you do matters. And you're going to have to reap the benefits or the consequences of choices that you're making right now. So that's why I'm wanting to do this series. I'm just kind of wanting to tell you what I'm always left thinking when someone tells me everything about their life and And I say it in a nice way, and I don't know if they're getting it because they go out and they do it again. So I'm just taking a few weeks to publicly tell you that. Now, last week we proposed an idea of why a lot of people think this way. And I told you that many people today are falling for what is known as the right person myth. The right person myth, which is a myth, by the way. And here's kind of what that myth says. It says this: if I marry the right person, everything will be all right. And another way of saying that is kind of like this: if I meet the right person, or when I meet the right person, everything will be all right. So very quickly, we tried to do our best to dispel that myth by telling you that idea just does not work. And you're like, well, how do you know that? Well, I would just point to statistics and say, then why are there over 50% of marriages ending in divorce today? Because a lot of people are falling, apparently, for this myth. So I kind of prepared an alternative idea towards relationships, which is very, very counterintuitive to culture. And we said, what if you started thinking about your relationships, your dating relationships, your remarrying relationships, even your married relationships? What if you started thinking this? Instead of finding the right person, what if maybe it's about becoming the right person? So this kind of is the counterpunch to the right person myth, which apparently so many people are falling for. So I said, instead of finding the right person, well, why don't you start becoming the right person? Then we kind of followed up that question with what I believe every question or is the single question that everybody in this room, whether you're dating, you're thinking about getting married again, you're married, you're trying to teach your kids, whatever position you're in, I think this question is something that you should always ask. And this is the talk, by the way, parents. I am totally just throwing you the inside track on your conversation with your future adults in your room. This is what you should be preaching and teaching to your kids all the time. This is the question that you should ask them. And ask yourself, am I the person that I am looking for is looking for? Are you the person you are looking for is looking for? You've got to ask that question if you want your relationships to work in life. You really have to. And then we helped you a little bit get you started, and we gave you a list. And that list is found in the Bible in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. Last week we even gave away these little nifty cards. And you're like, well, I didn't get one of those. That's cool. I think maybe you might have one of these. You can open it up. The list is in there. 1 Corinthians 13, all right? And if you don't have one of these, I think you can go find it anywhere on the internet today. You know, YouVersion is a great thing. And then also we give free ones away. But the entire list is in 1 Corinthians chapter 13. And then we ended that list, because Paul kind of wraps that letter up, and he said something which was pretty spectacular, because he's like, this is what love is. Love is this, and he goes through this whole thing, and that is the becoming list. This is the list for you to become the right person, and stop thinking about finding the right person. It's all about becoming the right person. And then he ends it on something that we ended it with last week, and it's a springboard for this week. So this is the passage, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 11. It says, when I was a child, I talked like a child. I thought like a child. I even reasoned like a child. But here's the deal. We all grow up, right? So when I became a man, and you can substitute that and put adult. When I became an adult, when I became a man, here's what happens. You got to put the ways of your childhood behind you, because you're not a child anymore. You're not a child anymore. And last week, I pretty boldly said, some of you in your relationships are still acting like a child. Now, don't say amen or elbow your husbands or anything like that at this time. But that's the truth. So what I want to do, that's kind of a springboard into today's conversation, is if you'd allow me, ladies, if you'd allowed me, I'd like to just talk to all the men for a few minutes today. Is that cool? Amen. Preach it, brother. I thought I would get that today. From all the ladies. Woo, woo. Come on. I thought I would talk to all the men today for just a few minutes on some of the ways that you can put the ways of your childhood behind you. All right, now ladies, don't tune me out, and I doubt you all. You're already like got your laptops out, ready taking notes and everything like this, all right? Because You might find some of this stuff fascinating. I'm hoping to, from the Word of God, be an advocate for you today a little bit. And remember, I'm not up here standing in perfect harmony with this. I'm admitting that. I'm self-admitting. I'm not amazing at a lot of stuff, but I'm an advocate. Now, guys, just hear me before you, like, you tune me out, you know? You're already snoring, you know what I'm saying? Don't tune me out, because I'm not here today to pick on you. Remember, I had to write this message myself and process it myself first. I'm not here to pick on you. My goal today is this. It's simple. It's to inspire you to become a better man. That's what my goal is, to step up and do the things that I believe are intricately woven inside your heart, and you know you want to do, you've just struggled being able to do them in your life. That's what I'm after. And here's why I believe this week is so vitally important to love, sex, and dating. Men, whether or not you want to accept this or not, here's the deal. You are the ones, I am the one, you are the ones who are biblically assigned to set the pace and the tone of your current and future relationships. You are it, and to avoid it means you are not being a man. You are not being a man. You are. Now, with that said, I get it. The weight of the world just came crashing on your shoulders. You're like, that's a lot of responsibility. So here's what I want to attempt at doing today. I want to share with you guys, bros, how you are to biblically view women today. All right? And this is going to be a challenge. I know this. Because in our culture today, please don't miss this. If you're a note taker, you want to write this down. In our culture today, women are viewed, they're presented, they're talked about, they're sung about like commodities. Like commodities. Now, I know you're smart people, and I don't need to go into great detail in defining what commodity is, but in short, this is what commodity is. A commodity is something that you basically use for the time that it's good or the time that you think that it's good. And if that good is done and over, then you basically go and you take it back, you trade it in, you return it, and you buy a new model. That's what commodity means. You use it until you're done with it. And just think about this just for a minute today, friends. I know I'm preaching to the choir today, but just about every song, every movie, every novel, every advertisement that you see come on your television set, every internet site, every magazine today communicates basically this about women. Take me, use me, do whatever you want with me, treat me however you'd like, then trade me in and get another one. Get another me. That is basically what culture is saying about women today. So consequently, it's inevitable. It's inevitable. We got a bunch of men today who think like little boys. Who think like little boys. So men, I want to attempt, in our short period of time today, to change the way, or maybe just shift or lean you towards, because I don't know if even one day is enough time. I want to help lean you towards changing the way you think and the way you view women. And I honestly believe that if you would listen to just a few of the ideas that we're going to share with you today, just give it a few minutes, let it simmer, let it cook, resonate on it today. I believe what we're going to share with you today will set you up for some extraordinary relationships. I really, really believe that. Now let me start here. Some of the things that I'm going to share in the next few minutes will probably leave some of you thinking something like this. Dude, that is so old-fashioned. And some of the stuff that I'm going to present to you is going to be like, duh, I already knew that. Well, if you already knew that, then why aren't you acting like it? You know what I'm saying? But you're going to think that way when you hear some of these. But I'm telling you what I'm saying, regardless of what you think about them, old-fashioned or out of date or duh, no-brainer, they will fly in the face of culture today. They will fly in the face. Now, when these ideas, to set the table for you, when these ideas were first presented in the first century, they were even stranger than what they may sound like today for you. Because when they were first presented in the first century, women weren't actually considered commodities. They were commodities. Okay? I mean, they were the lowest of lows on the totem pole. So when these were presented in that day and age, it was like, oh, no way. You've got to be kidding. That means I'm going to have to change everything about my life. Yeah, that's what it means. They were actually considered commodities. That's how radical they were. But nonetheless, into this culture, Jesus spoke. Into this culture, Paul spoke. And into this culture, Peter spoke. And when they did, and what they said, it was revolutionary. Revolutionary. That it literally shocked a day and age. And here's what's even crazier. It's nuts. It's out there. It's outrageous. But it actually slowly began to transform a culture. Unbelievable. So only by the power of God in your life is this even possible. So what I'm basically saying is this new teaching that I'll share with you here in just a minute, it was radical. It was even threatening in that day and age. But women in that day and age, they found it refreshing. And I think today, after you hear some of these things, even the women today are like, I like that. Could you do another few weeks on that? You know, something like that. But it holds because I know our Lord is the same yesterday, today, and forever. I know it holds the same potential and power today to be radical and threatening if you'd allow it. Here's basically the premise of God's teaching in these ideas. It's this: God loves women as much as he loves men. That's the premise. That's the premise, all right? And that was revolutionary in that day and age. Jesus started off by saying something like this, John chapter 13. You can look at it later. I'm just going to tell you what it is so we can keep moving. Jesus comes on the scene and he says something like this: love one another. So when he says this, immediately the guy's brain start thinking, what, love one another? That all-encompassing. So a hand goes up in the back of the room. Jesus, question for you. Does that even mean women? Jesus, yeah, it means women. Of course it means women. So he continues. I don't get that question. Looks over at Peter. Take that guy's name. Let's keep him out of the room next time. You know, so then he goes on and he says, love one another as I have loved you. Question, Jesus, question. Love one another as I have loved you. So you just said that we're to even love women that way. Okay, let's be really clear, because I don't want to mistake this. Do you even mean my slave women? I'm supposed to love them too? Is that what you're saying? And Jesus is like, yeah. Even them. Now would you shut up? Because I want to keep moving on with this thought. You know, that... why so many questions? Guys, this is not that hard. So he continues and he says, love one another as I have loved you. And then he says this: by this, two powerful words, by this, by what? The new kind of love. People will love or will know that you are my disciples. If you love one another. Love who? Everyone. Even women. So with that said, Jesus begins a new precedent for men. Remember, we're in that culture in that day and age. That being, we are to love everyone the same way that he loved us. So let me bring it to today's culture. That even means this, that guys, you're supposed to love even your girlfriend's best friend. But I know what she said about me. I don't care. Love. That means even your wife's sister. Whoa. That means even your mother-in-law. Huh? That kind of love. And you're probably thinking, wait, what? Dude, this changes the rules, Josh. And I would say, and Jesus would say, yeah, it does. So then Paul comes along in Ephesians chapter 5. In Ephesians chapter 5. And I know he's speaking in context of marriage, but it still applies to the whole love idea and Jesus loving men and women the same. And he says this. He says, husbands, love your wives like Christ loved the church. Paul, got a question for you. Yeah. What's your question? Paul, help me figure this out, okay? Didn't Jesus die for the church? Paul said, yeah. So let me get this straight, Paul. What you're saying then is I am supposed to give my life for my wife. Is that what you're saying? I don't want to put words in your mouth, but is that what you're saying, Paul? Paul says, yeah, now you're getting it. Good. Let's keep moving. No. Hold on. Time out. Whoa, dude. Hold on, dude. You see, in our world, Paul, if you're not aware of this, men don't give. Men take. You feeling me, bro? Everybody's in the room like, dude, you tell Paul. So Paul's like, no, I ain't feeling you, bro. You're now supposed to give and not take. And then Paul left them thinking something like, wow, that's new. Yeah, that's new. Now, single guys, listen to me real quick today. Listen to me. Matter of fact, every man in the room, listen to me. This so far, this is what you're shooting for. This is what it means so far to be a good and godly Christian man. And this is where all the single guys are like, well, good thing I'm not married yet. So if that's you today, then listen to me. That means you need to start practicing like now. And then the guys are like, well, I'm already married. Well, then listen to me. Something in you might need to change. Like today. So now Peter comes along the scene. Remember Peter, okay? Peter's a guy that walks with Jesus everywhere for his 2.5+ years of ministry on this earth. And Peter saw revolutionary things that Jesus did that no other man did. And one of those things that was completely countercultural was he actually interacted with women. Unbelievable. There's this one time that he went to this well, and there was a Samaritan woman, and the Samaritan woman was kind of like, you know, the outcast of all society. She was a half-breed, all right? So you don't even talk to Jewish women. You don't even go in the same vicinity of a Samaritan woman, but yet Jesus talks to her. The guys come back like, what is he doing? Dude, this is going to get around town. We're going to have to make up a story. Call TMZ and, you know, distract him and everything of this nature. That's the Peter that we're talking about right here. He also saw Jesus kneel down on the ground and touch, not just talk, but now touch and continue a conversation with a woman that was caught in the very act of adultery. In the very act. He writes this part to Christian men, and he says this, 1 Peter 3:7, first part. Husbands, in the same way, be considerate as you live with your wives and treat them with respect. With respect. Now, let me pause right here and just ask a very logical question to this first statement. Why would Peter even need to write, "Husbands, treat your wives with respect"? For us, it's a no-brainer, even though we're not all that good at it. But for us, it's a no-brainer. Why would he even need to say that? Doesn't everybody know that? Let me tell you why he said that. Peter knew that into the world in which men viewed women as a commodity, he needed to raise the bar in which men might still be tempted in continually viewing them that way. And that's because he knew it was extremely dangerous for men to continue viewing them as such. Here's what I mean, just to break that verse down. Keep that up there real quick. When you look at the word respect in this passage right here, which was written in Greek, there's a very interesting translation for the word respect. And what's interesting is the word in Greek that's used there is only used one time in the entire Greek New Testament for this word respect. The author, which means this, when an author does that in writing the original Greek Hebrew or Greek text, the author is trying to emphatically translate the importance of the use of his word right here. So the Greek word that's assigned to this word right here, respect, that's only used once in the Greek New Testament, means this: to grant or assign them honor. To grant or assign them honor. And I don't know a better way of defining that for you today of what honor means than just to say this. You look at your wife. Ginger, would you stand up just for visual illustration real quick? No, it's not even my notes. I'm just doing this on the spot real quick. I look at my wife, according to this, okay? And this is what honor means. This is the best way. Simple mind. Remember, I'm not too deep. I look at Ginger, and I am in honor of my wife. Thank you very much. Give her a hand. That's awesome. I am in honor of my wife. So the guys that are reading this, because it's a letter, are probably thinking something like this: dude's not even here, man. He put this in a letter. He ain't even met my wife. She ain't that honorable. Peter continues his thought. 1 Peter 3:7, second half, right? Treat her with respect. As the weaker partner. Ladies, don't get upset here, okay? All right? This is not speaking about lesser intelligence or lesser importance. All Peter's basically saying is your husband could probably beat you in an arm wrestling match. That's what he's saying in essence here. But this is the key phrase that often gets overlooked in this passage. As the weaker partner, and listen, this is what blew their minds. And as heirs with you of the gracious gift of life. And what Peter was in essence saying in this moment, this is huge. He says, men, your wives, they answer to the same heavenly Father as you. When Jesus died, he died for the women as well as the men. Men, you are not superior. You are not men. And women are no longer inferior. Guys, do you get this? This was revolutionary. Revolutionary. And it kind of is today, isn't there? Because for some reason, there's this equal rights movement rising again. It's like we're seeing this come back around. And then he added something like this. This is great. So that nothing will hinder your prayers. And that's kind of simply put, dudes, if you don't do this right, God ain't gonna listen to you. God ain't gonna listen to you. Some of you are wondering what your relationship with Jesus is like right now. It's like weak, up and down. And it's like, God just doesn't seem to be answering my prayers. So in essence, Peter was saying right here, guys, listen to this. Men, you are to use your power, your physical, financial, mental, spiritual strength for the sake of those who are viewed and have been viewed for far too long with less power than you, for the sake of those who have been viewed with less power than you. So here's how that translates to us today. Men, don't miss this. Men, every woman in your life today, you are to treat them with respect and honor. And here's basically why. Just so add a little cherry on top for you, okay? Because you are accountable to your heavenly Father in the way that you treat them. Oof. And when we say it like that, it doesn't sound too old-fashioned anymore. For all the guys in the room, it's like, yeah, that's a little scary. Especially in light of how I'm viewing or treating women in my life right now. So, guys, this is what all that means for you today. Some of you are going to have to today renew your mind and think differently. All right? And some of you are going to have to make up your mind. This is in particular to singles, but both of it is that way. But you've got to make up your mind to behave differently. Renew your mind to think differently and make up your mind to behave differently. So for the remaining few minutes today, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to talk to the men today primarily about this, how you can renew your mind, how you can think differently. And then honestly, I can't really tell you, how you behave differently. I can give you some ideas and suggestions, but that's kind of up to you to make up your mind, right? The decision to change your actions and make up your mind is up to you of how you'll treat women differently. But I want to talk specifically today on a very serious part of the conversation about a couple of ways, just a couple of the ways that many men have chosen to entertain themselves today. And just to forewarn you, this is where it probably will get like, a little PG-13 in the room today, a little uncomfortable. You'll hear me possibly say things that you're like, I didn't know you could say that from up there. You know, that kind of a thing. All right? But it needs to be said. And I think it needs to be said in church because culture's screaming it at you. Culture's screaming it at you, okay? So hear it very clearly today. Now, let me start by saying this. Just preface these two ideas with this to all the single guys in the room, just so you are aware. And if you doubt me, just go ask a married guy and they're like, yeah, what he said was right. You know what I'm saying? All right? This is one of those things. These are a few things that I'm going to share with you. They're just not natural. They're not natural to you. They're going to require some serious practice on your part, some serious renewing. Now, let me break that down for you, okay? Because this is kind of applies to that myth, when I meet the right person, everything will be all right. Here's what, for some reason, another myth that guys tend to think. Weddings will change everything. Okay, so let me stop, pause, and call time out real quick. Weddings don't change people. Weddings don't educate people. Weddings don't change bad habits. They don't. Here's what I mean. Your wedding, guys, if you're banking on your wedding to be the day that you do a 180, it ain't happening. It's not going to happen. It won't change you. If you don't know how to treat a woman with respect before you say I do, you will be just as ignorant after the fact. There's a lot of ladies hooting and hollering today. Truth be told, there's some men sitting in this room today who don't even know they're doing. They don't even know what they're doing now that they're married. Here's what I mean. They've far too long been exercising their ear and their eye muscles. They hardly even have a mind of their own anymore. I kind of tip my hand. You kind of know where I'm going, don't you? So let me share with you a few of the renew ideas that might better help you become the person you're looking for by helping you join the real, godly gentleman's club. Okay? Renewing. Just a couple for you today. Ginger's getting nervous right now. Guys, if you're going to listen to anything that I say today, please hear me with these next couple things. Renewing. when it comes to music. Music. Men, if you have any song on your playlist, if you're married and you have teenage sons that you are aware of, because I know they sneak that stuff, I know that. If you're a dad and you have a teenage son, but men in particular, you're in here today, okay? And you have any song on your playlist that refers to a woman as a B, fill in the word, four letters after that. I told you I'm being nice. We're not going to R today. Here's where I'll go a little 13. A B or a whore or a hoe or a booty call. If there is any song on your playlist that contains words like that, that refer to a woman in such a fashion, you should permanently remove that song before the sun sets and never, ever, ever listen to that song again. Okay? Now, I'm going to help the married guys out because you've got the teenage sons and this is the response. I know what it is. And some even single guys out there, you might say this. Well, Josh, dude, that terminology, it's not bad. It's just cultural. It may be offensive, but I don't even hardly listen to the words. I don't even take it seriously. I just like the beat. I like the rhythm. I hear that one all the time. I don't even listen to the words. I just like the rhythm. I like the beat. So here's my response to you today, okay? I understand your argument. I really do. Because there's a lot of songs out there that are horrible, but they have good beats. There's no doubt about that. I'm not denying that. I'm not condemning music today. That's not the message here. So don't read into that. I'm not buying your argument, all right? But here's why I think you need to stop trying to sell it. Words matter. Here's why. Words are not only the expression of culture, they also shape culture. And that's a big deal. Here's why. Let me give you a little back history of why I'm saying that. In every country that you look back into the pages of history that has a recorded genocide, in every society where there has been slavery, somebody came along with a superior attitude and they've dehumanized an individual by ascribing them a label or a name to that person. They gave them names to treat those people less than people. So I would say that it's time you stop using culture as your primary argument and your primary excuse, because I believe, and I'm convicted this when I say this, that any culture, listen, I'll say this publicly, any culture that degrades women in such a way is a culture that should be abandoned or changed, not defended. Not defended. And let me say one more thing with this idea, all right? Men, listen to this. If you keep choosing to entertain yourself with such terminology that gives you permission to label women with such dehumanizing dialect, listen, guess how you're going to keep treating them? Guess how you're going to keep treating them? Okay, that's the first one. Let's keep moving. All right, this is where it's going to get a little squirmy, for sure. B. Erotic imagery. Ting! Did you hear that? That's a pin drop. Otherwise known as porn. All right, since guys' brains are simple, mine is too, so don't worry about that. I'll make this very simple for you today. Men, this is the best way to set this one up. Anytime that you sit alone and you look at naked pictures of women, you're going to school.
going to school. What do you mean you're going to school? Here's what I mean. You're going to school. Here's what you're learning at your Erotic Imagery Institute. Number one, a real body isn't good enough. These are what you're learning. A real body isn't good enough. The second major principle and the foundation of you know, EII, okay? One body isn't good enough. A real body isn't good enough. And one body isn't good enough. That's what you're learning. And then lastly, the most devastating effects is this. It's a third major principle to get your diploma from EII. Ready? Your wife's body isn't good enough. When you attend Erotic Imagery University, when you sit around by yourself with no one around you, which, warning, newsflash, is that not a problem already? Idle Hands of the Devil's Workshop, right? When you sit around and you look at naked pictures of women, you're going to school. And these are the three major principles. These are the three pillars, the three foundations. A PU, Porn University. That's a good name for it, isn't it? PU. And if you're a single man today, or a married man today, I don't know how else to tell you this. The best thing that you could ever, ever, ever do in your life is drop out of that school effectively yesterday. This is the first time you ever tell somebody, drop out of school. Drop out of school and don't ever come back. Here's why. That school will provide you with a diploma that pretty much ensures you a lifetime of romantic disappointment. Extraordinary, 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 extraordinary disappointment. Did I say extraordinary disappointment? Seriously, guys, the degree that you receive from Porn University is nothing more than job security for marriage counselors and divorce attorneys. Listen to me, guys, today. If you spend enough time learning those three lessons at school, guess what? Something chemically, there are medical researches and studies that have been done. Time Magazine, their feature article in their last issue, talked just about this, but not the sensationalizing of porn. It was like the effects that it has on you. Something chemically begins to change in your mind, and you're not the same. You can't talk the same. You can't think the same. You're even at times unable to function the same. And if you doubt me, I've had too many conversations that go something like this through a period of time. Here's what it looks like. Uh-oh, I can't even function one day without looking at it. Uh-oh, I'm discovering that real women can't compete with the images. Uh-oh, I can't even have sex with my wife anymore without seeing the face of the image that I saw on the computer screen today. Uh-oh, since I can't get from my spouse what I see in those images, I better start looking for it somewhere else and with somebody else. Uh-oh, this is destroying my freaking marriage. Guys, seriously, how long will it take for you guys to realize that this school is teaching you something that's destroying your lives? I'm almost done. Men, porn is not a pastime. It is a pathway it's continually leading you to view women as a commodity. It's not a pastime, it's a pathway. And porn only, this is what's amazing. Porn makes a promise that it can't keep. It promises you to serve as a temporary, no strings attached substitute until a real woman comes along. The right woman, remember? And in the end, this is what's so amazing. This is what somebody maybe never told you, so I'm helping you out today. In the end, porn actually erodes a man's ability to experience the very thing that porn supposedly substitutes, a meaningful, satisfying sexual relationship. Let me say this last thing, and then we'll be done for the day. Guys, please hear my heart today. I love you. I care about you. All right? And I've walked the same journeys that you have walked or are walking. You can't ever give yourself fully to someone else as long as you are mastered by something else. You can't. And I'll leave you with that one to resonate a little bit for the rest of the day. Let's all stand with our heads bowed and eyes closed. Guys, please hear my heart today. I promise you, I didn't say anything today with the intentions of exposing you or shaming you today. My goal was simple. It was to inform you. It was to inform you. To make you aware of something that maybe never told you, to share with you something that will maybe better help you understand that light that's way back there that you think it is at the end of the tunnel. It's not a light. It's an oncoming train. And that's because, guys, please hear my heart today. I genuinely and honestly, sincerely care about you. I love you, and I want you to become a better man. A good and godly man. And just for the record, I told you I had to write this myself and process this myself. And I'm not standing up here a perfect man. And if you doubt me, just ask Ginger on your way out and she'll list every single thing that I'm wrong at with this. So here's how I'd like to close today. Every head is bowed and every eye is closed. We're going to sing a song after I pray. If you're married today, I want to personally invite you to take your wife's hand, if she is here today, come to the front of the stage, and men, I want you to pray for your wife today. I want you to thank God for her in front of her. That's fun, all right? I want you to praise her. I want you to compliment her. I want you to celebrate her. I want you to honor her today before God. And men, if you have boys, if you have young men in your homes, I want you to take a minute together and I want you to pray for your boys. I want you to pray that God would show you a way in which to behave in front of them the way that a man is to behave with your with a woman in front of them with your wife. That's what I want you to pray. If you're a single dude today, I'd like to personally invite you today to come forward. And I want you to ask God to renew your mind. To think differently towards women today. I want you to ask God to assist you to make up your mind. To behave differently towards women today. That's my challenge for you. And if you're a single young lady today, I'd like to personally invite you to come forward. And I want you to ask God to give you the courage to wait patiently for a man, God's man, that will treat you not only with love, but also with respect and honor. And that you would have the courage to settle for nothing less in your life. That's what I want to challenge you to do today in closing. All right? Now, in my perfect world, the altars would be flooded. I can't answer for you. But I can tell you this. You're going to struggle with this stuff until you invite God into the conversation. You'll keep making a mess of your life until you say, God, would you maybe help me out here and join me in this journey? I'm telling you the truth today. So maybe today's that day for you. I'm going to pray. And we're gonna close with a song. Jesus, thanks for today. I love you. I praise you. I want to give you honor today. You're the one that deserves the most honor. And I thank you for my wife. I thank you for being patient with me when I am not really good at some of this stuff in honoring her.
And I want to ask that you would help me become a better man for you first and for her and then for my children. I love you and I praise you, and I pray, God, that you would move in someone's life and they'd come forward today and they would make some commitments. We love you in your son's name. Amen.